Friends, grace and peace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded that it is not morning. So if I said good morning, you'd all raise an eyebrow. Amen? Amen. Good evening. Welcome to our Monday-Thursday service here at First United Methodist. It is good to see you all. It is good to be gathered to remember the story of Jesus Christ. Friends, would you join me in today's service? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I invite you to join us in our first hymn, Stand As You Are Comfortable. It can be found on 581 in your thick blueback hymnals, verses 1 through 4, or up on the screen. Friends, you may be seated. I've been very blessed and reminded by our youth all of the complexities of confession and pardon and forgiveness and reconciliation. So, friends, I invite you to join us in this time as we not only just say words to pardon ourselves and feel good about ourselves, but that we really take a moment to remember the ways that we might have caused harm, or that we do cause harm, or that we're complicit. And not only that, and more importantly than that, to know that Christ forgives us so that we might forgive others, that we might release our burdens and our bitterness, that we might be lights and beacons of hope and reconciliation, so that relationships might be healed. Friends, would you join me in the confession and the pardon? We are reluctant, O God of grace and love, to set aside our hurt, our anger, our disappointment, Heal us with your tender touch, that we might be cleansed of all unclean thoughts, all schemes of revenge, all hope of vindictive retribution. Open our eyes to the power of love, shown to us in the unselfish sacrifice of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. Christ who came so that we might not be lost and alone, but that we might know the mercy and love of God, finding both salvation and eternal life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, believe the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, you have been forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Friends, at this time we have our choir here to guide us in reflection as they sing In Remembrance. Our reading from the letters comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Friends, this is a letter of Paul to the Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this wherever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, we invite you to stand once again and join us in our next hymn, "O Young and Fearless Prophet," which can be found on page 444 of your thick blueback hymnals. We'll be singing verses 1 through 5, and it'll be up on the screens.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Our reading from the Gospel comes from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. This is the Gospel according to John. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were there in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," Peter said, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For Jesus knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. You know what I find funny about this passage? Not funny as in a ha-ha, but funny as a hmm. What does Peter say when Jesus starts to wash everyone's feet? You can always count on Peter to open his mouth and say what everyone's thinking. Amen. Jesus comes up to Peter and says, "It's time for me to wash your feet." And Peter says, "Are you serious about that, Lord? Are you sure? Because, you know, I walk a lot of miles. I've been through the dust and the mud and the manure, and I'm not sure if you want to wash my feet. Are you sure you want to wash my feet?" And Jesus said, "Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm here to do." And Peter's response? Peter's response? "Heck no, absolutely not. That's not what I want. That's gross. Get out of here." And Jesus goes on to say, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in this." And then Peter goes on to respond with what? "My hands, my head, my whole body. If you're going to wash my feet, if you're going to do it, actually do it. Go 100% all the way, do the whole thing, wash me, Lord." What's fascinating about this exchange is that there were some assumptions that were made on Peter's part. First off, Peter assumed that Jesus was talking about simply washing his feet. I don't want to rag on the disciples too much. Honestly, we're not all that far off from them most days. But Peter assumed that what Jesus was doing was something that was supposed to be left for the servants. This wasn't something a lord, a master, a rabbi, a teacher would have to do. There are other people whose jobs, whose stations, whose roles are meant for this. Peter assumed that he knew what Christ was talking about. And when Christ tried to tell him what was actually happening, Peter assumed again, and a little bit incorrectly, that if you're going to do it, this is the right way that you're going to wash my feet. Peter forgot to do one simple thing. How many of you have two ears? Right here, you got them? Peter forgot to listen. Peter forgot to listen. And I know that seems like such a simple thing, and it seems like something that I keep saying over and over and over again, but if I've learned anything in helping educate children and helping educate adults and helping educate even people my own age, it's repetition, it's practice, it's once again coming back to the things that we need to learn, the things that need to change our hearts. And Peter forgot to listen. And I think we forget to listen sometimes too. See, what Jesus is trying to do here is teach us that it is through serving that we best love one another. In fact, Jesus will go on to say, after he tells Judas to go do what he has to do, Peter will go on to say, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Christ has said that serving is the highest call that we have as Christians. Even when you're in positions of leadership, how many of you enjoy that? No one's raising your hand. No one enjoys being in positions of leadership. Amen. Hallelujah. Even in positions of leadership, what are we called to do? Serve. We're called to listen. We're called to give voice to our people. We're called to walk with them, help them shoulder their burdens, help them find a way. Christ has called us to serve. And sometimes when we help people, we make other assumptions too. How many of you have ever raised kids and they've said, why are we doing this? It doesn't matter what it is it? You could be saying, I'm giving you ice cream. Why are we eating ice cream? Or we're going to go to an amusement park. I don't want to go to an amusement park. Why do we have to go there? They don't, well, I have a theory. This is more a reflection on myself than anyone else. I have a theory that, you know, adults were just large children. Amen? Amen. But sometimes it's a good question, isn't it? Why are we doing this? Sometimes our children slow us down so we truly, not only listen, but we truly communicate. We truly walk with them. And it's a beautiful thing. Because sometimes as we serve one another, we forget. We go too fast. We don't stop to take a breath. Sometimes we assume, like Peter did, we assume what has to happen, what needs to come next, the needs that need to be met. Peter assumed that the need that was being met was his feet being cleaned off. And yet, what was the actual need? What was the actual grace, the actual gift, blessing that Christ was giving? Christ was washing not only his feet, but his heart and his mind and his soul, showing Peter and the disciples what is good and beautiful and right to do. Sometimes when we go out to help, we assume that we know what other people need. And yet, one of the best things that we can do first is what? You're getting it, right? Is to what? Listen, to walk with people, to talk with people, to be in relationship with people, because I think at the end of the day, that is what most of us actually truly long for. We actually want someone to hear us and care. Let me say that again. We actually want people to hear what we are saying. Y'all been there before? You're nodding your heads. Everyone else is no different than we are. We are no different than anyone else. And part of what fascinates me with the gospel story here, today, this year, is that perhaps sometimes we make assumptions that turn into misunderstandings, that strain relationships, and yet, maybe it doesn't need to be like that. Not only amongst our congregation, our friends, and our family, but maybe out in the community as well. So friends, as you go out, and I'll give you a little bit of something practical. As you go out and as you help people, I'm going to give you how many words? I'm going to give you four words. They're four really good, important, useful words. Are you ready? You ready? All right. What? Do? You? Need. And then the next part is, to what? Listen. Listen. Because we are called to serve as Christians. And there's much grace and beauty in that. Amen? Amen. Friends, in your bulletins and perhaps even up on the screens, I have a prayer that I would like us all to join in with. It's the prayer for the mind of Christ. I'll read out the first part and then there are responses. But friends, I invite you to prepare your hearts that we might invite Christ into our lives. Friends, let us pray. Let us remember Jesus, who though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor and dwelt among us, who was content to be subject to his parents, the child of a poor couple's home, who lived for 30 years the common life, earning his living with his own hands and declining no humble tasks, whom the people heard gladly, for he understood their ways. And so, may this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus. Let us remember Jesus, who was mighty indeed, healing the sick and the disordered, using for others the powers he would not invoke for himself, who refused to force people's allegiance, who was master and lord to his disciples, yet was among them as their companion and as one who served, whose desire was to do the will of God, who sent him. And so, may this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus. Let us remember Jesus, who loved people, yet retired from them to pray, rose a great while before the day, watched through the night, stayed in the wilderness, went up into a mountain, sought a garden, who, when he would help a tempted disciple, prayed for him, who prayed for the forgiveness of those who rejected him and for the perfecting of those who received him, who observed traditions but defied convention that did not serve the purposes of God, who hated the sins of pride and selfishness, of cruelty and impurity. And so, may this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus. Let us remember Jesus, who believed in people and never despaired of them, who through all disappointment never lost heart, who disregarded his own comfort and convenience and thought first of others' needs, and though he suffered long, was always kind, who, when he was reviled, uttered no harsh word in return, and when he suffered, did not threaten retaliation, who humbled himself and carried obedience to the point of death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. And so, may this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus. Friends, let us unite in prayer that Christ may dwell in our hearts. O Christ, our only Savior, so come to dwell in us that we may go forth with the light of your hope in our eyes and with your faith and love in our hearts. Amen and amen. Friends, at this time we have our offering. If you remember last year, we're going to do something a little similar this year. What did Jesus call us to do? Love one another and starts with an S, ends with erv. Serve. Friends, we have gotten supplies to help bless the patrons at the Lord's Cupboard, who has been a blessing to this church here. Friends, our offering today and tomorrow will go to help offset those costs so that people might have what is called a personal dignity kit. How many of you use shampoo? If you don't raise your hand, come see me afterwards. I've got some shampoo for you. How many of you use toothbrushes, toothpaste, soap? Friends, these are basic graces, basic needs that provide dignity. And we want to make sure that those who might not be able to afford them or might worry about how they're going to get them don't have to worry this Easter season. All the offering we take will go towards that. And we are grateful for the ways that you continue to support not only this church, but the ministry Christ has called us to. Amen. Amen. God, thank you for these gifts. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you for the love in their hearts. And all the people said, amen. Friends, you may be seated. The other bit of tonight that we remember is that Christ offered a simple meal. See, it's the other side of the coin. It is good that we serve, but it is good that we are together. Friends, this simple meal of bread, and for us as Methodists, grape juice, the fruit of the vine, is a reminder that not only does God love us, but that the love of Christ is within us and among us and around us. This is not my table, This is not the table of the United Methodist Church. This is the table of the living Christ, and all who desire to partake of it are welcome. We practice an open table, and I take that seriously. Friends, you are welcome here to partake with us because God loves you no more and no less than he loves each of us. Amen? Amen. Friends, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, a good and a beautiful thing. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks that you have found it a good thing, a wonderful thing, to serve us so that we might serve each other. Lord, may we remember not only fondly but deeply the ways that you have loved us and taught us and walked among us, the ways that you suffered for us, that you sacrificed yourself for us and died. Lord, may we remember and not lose hope that you have risen again and will come again. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise. And all the people said, Amen. So friends, we invite you to lift your voices as we lift them and join in the unending hymn of those who have come before us, those who will come after us, and those who are with us today, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Friends, on the night which Christ offered himself up for us, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it, saying, Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this as often as you can in my memory. And in the same way, after the meal had ended, he took the cup, filled it full of wine. Said, Take this and drink. This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you can in my memory. And so, friends, in memory of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, as ourselves, holy and living sacrifices, we invite you to proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Would you pray with me once more? Gracious Lord, bless us here. Send your Spirit upon us. Fill our hearts with your love and your grace and your truth. And Lord, bless these simple gifts of bread and cup, that they may be for us your body and blood, that we might be your body, redeemed by your blood. Lord, make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world until you come again in grace and in glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, this is an open table, and all are welcome. We'll be serving communion. I'll be tearing off the bread, and we'll have the small cups of juice. There are baskets for you to dispose of your empty cups, and you are more than welcome to come up and kneel in prayer for as long as you wish. Friends, this is the table of the Lord, and all are welcome. May you never forget that God loves you before you were born, throughout your whole life, and long after you leave this earth. And all the people said, amen and amen. Friends, we invite you to stand and join us in our final hymn as we prepare to leave this evening. Friends, before you go this evening, like I said, I have supplies in the back, and it wouldn't be Maundy Thursday as far as I'm concerned unless we engage in some act of service, something about listening to the words that Christ tells us and learning from it. Amen? Amen. But friends, you are invited to engage in this beautiful and joyful act with us. If you come to the back, I think there's probably about enough where if everyone does one, maybe a few do two bags, that we should be able to get through everything. But friends, may God bless you. May God keep you. May God walk with you this Holy Week as we remember the story of Christ and the grace that we have truly and really known. Go with God, and God will go with you. And all the people said, amen. Friends, we invite you into the back to help us with this act of service. But may you be blessed this evening.
This all is for Lord's Supper, for Lord's Cup, right?